What I'd like to do today, which would be real helpful for me, is we could talk forever, which would be a lot of fun. I would enjoy it. But I probably would be able to ask better questions. And I'd probably learn more, and whatever I might do with this, which isn't clear yet, various possibilities, just putting it in an archive for some student to write a paper someday, or, oh, I've got various thoughts of things, Magdalene, I might do, you never know. If I got today, just maybe a half hour, 45 minutes, an overview of your life, that then I could think about questions that I might ask you about. So, if I can just shoot off some questions to you, and you just go ahead and say whatever you want to say. If at any point we say anything today or other days that you'd rather nobody ever heard, I have a button to pause this, and it simply won't be recorded on the tape. I'd rather just not tape anything that didn't want anybody to ever hear about, rather than worrying about what's on and off the record.
Yeah.
Anything off the record, we'll just not tape. That way I don't have to worry about taping stuff that I should never share with somebody. Okay?
Okay, John.
Generally, dates are irrelevant to me. Dates are my business. But today I might ask you a couple dates questions, like, when was Robert Brenner born and where?
I was born January 20th, 1922, at Port Huron, Michigan.
What'd your dad and mom do then?
To the best of my knowledge, my dad was a tool die and gauge maker. My mother was a housewife.
Any other children besides Bob?
I have, or have had, five brothers and five sisters. There's 10 of us living as of now. Four brothers and five sisters. One brother died at an early age.
Were you raised in Port Huron?
No. Shortly after my birth, my mother and father moved to Battle Creek, Michigan. And I have lived there practically my whole life, except for a couple of years when I traveled a little bit playing professional baseball.
You played professional ball?
Yeah. Upon graduating from Battle Creek Central High School in 1941, I had previously signed a contract to play with the Finley Oilers in the Ohio State League in 1941. I played that year with them and bounced between Finley, Ohio and Toledo, Ohio. Following year, I enlisted in the U.S. Army Air Force, and the next 5 years of my life was in the Air Force.
Army Air Force. Second base, shortstop.
I could play baseball just about anything. But where I played the majority of the time was shortstop or third base. That was my regular positions. Because I had a real good throwing arm, or somebody thought I did in those days, they weren't afraid to even throw me out there on the mound, let me throw.
Why'd your dad go to Battle Creek?
Well, he was stationed at Camp Custer, and of course, being just born, I don't recollect too much that time, but I know we have always lived, and my parents have told me we moved to Battle Creek when I was just an infant.
Downtown?
Pardon?
Downtown Battle Creek?
No. We also lived out in the country.
Whereabouts?
About 8 miles north of Battle Creek, Michigan. In fact, our farm bordered on the Calhoun County and the Berry County baselines.
What was the township?
The township was Penfield Township.
The reason I didn't want to ask you the questions earlier is because I knew you'd think I was a dummy asking again. What did your dad do when you were a kid? What did your father do? I know what your mother did. She raised 11 children. We can talk about her at another point. What did your father do when you were a child?
My father was always employed as a tool die and gauge maker, a skilled craftsman.
What kinds of places did he work at when you were in elementary school?
He worked in, normally, I guess, the place that was paying the most for that type of labor at that time, such places as the Oliver Corporation and the Eaton Corporation and Kellogg's in Battle Creek and Post Products. Even during the Depression and the late 20s and the real early 30s, I don't ever recall my dad being out of a job because he was so skilled.
As a skilled tradesman, did he have anything to do with unions?
Yes, he was a charter member of Local 444 at the Oliver Corporation in Battle Creek, Michigan. And all during his employment there, he was always an officer of the local union and was a very active unionist. He was union through and through. He believed in unions. He worked, he helped, he formed, joined, assist. He just felt that that was the proper way to go.
Another time we'll talk more about your dad. Did you have any experiences because of your parents with unions as a child?
I can recall walking the picket line as probably a very young child, 7 or 8 years old approximately, when the plant would lock the employees out or the employees would go on strike. I remember walking the picket lines with my dad. It meant a trip into the city, and we were old country folks.
What was your first job? Hmm. What was your first job? Where'd you first work, other than you worked on the farm helping the parents?
I always worked on the farm, but my first employment was I wanted to be a ball player so bad I didn't have money to buy a baseball glove, so I guess my first employment was working a week at $1 a day as a dishwasher in a restaurant to get $5 to buy my first baseball glove. And then the next year, or a couple of years, I was working pretty much full-time playing baseball or on the farm, doing the usual chores on the farm. And then in August of 1942 is when I enlisted in the Army Air Force, and for the next 5 years I was in the Air Force, spent 15 months overseas in the Southwest Pacific as a pilot. And when I returned from the service, I returned to Clark Equipment Company, my former employer. I started working there at 55 cents an hour in 1942, and when I came back from the service, the rate of pay had increased up to 75 cents an hour.
start at 50 cents an hour?
And back in 1942, in June of 42, I hired in there at 55 cents an hour. And when I returned, I think in April or May sometime, 1947, at 75 cents an hour.
Was there a union there then?
They had an independent, we called it the Red Apple Club. It was an independent union. They paid per capita to nothing. They did nothing. They didn't represent employees as a lot of employees figured they should. And so I immediately set out to try and organize them into the UAW, AFL. And we had our first RC election, 1947. And we barely lost it. And right away, the Red Apple signed a two-year contract. The independent union signed a two-year agreement with the employer. And they had a union shop provision, and you had to pay union dues. But I refused to pay union dues based on the fact that I didn't think they were a union, or I didn't think that they represented anybody. Most certainly no one that I was aware of in the plant. And so I refused to pay my union dues, and naturally some of their officers wanted me fired. But because I was a ball player on them playing for the Clark baseball team at that time, and they had a pretty good club. We were national amateur champions in 46 and runner-ups in 47. The plant manager paid my union dues for me, so I could stay and play ball with Clark's. But I told him no way would I give that outfit any money. In the meantime, between 19, we lost an election, and I probably have already stated that. But during these 2 years, 47 to 49, when they were under contract with the Red Apple, I exerted a lot of time, effort, and worked as a part-time organizer for the UAW, AFL, organizing. And the company was very displeased. They laid me off. They didn't want to fire me, but they didn't let me work full-time, and the times when they wouldn't let me work, I worked as a part-time organizer for Ed Donahue and the UAW-AFL. We held an election there in 1949, 2 years later. And we won that election. And then back in those days, you know, you had to have another election regarding a union shop clause, and that the ground rules were a little different than that, in as much as election you can win by a majority, one over half. But in this, you had to get a majority of those eligible to vote, whether they voted or not. But we won that overwhelmingly, and from that point on, I was always active in the local union, holding practically every office in the local union as chairman, bargaining committee for years, financial secretary, treasurer for years, working for Ed Donahue as a part-time labor representative upon occasions, and until such time as I joined the International Union staff as a full-time representative, and that was in February of 1953. I think the 1st of February of 53 is when I went on as a full-time rep, and I served representing practically every area in the state for about the next 16, 17, or I don't know, quite a length of time. And then when Walt Campbell became director of the region, I think that was in 1967, at the convention in 1967. He moved me. I was working the southwestern corner of the state. He moved me into Lansing as his assistant. And I served the next better part of 4 years as his assistant until Walt retired from the AIW in June of 71, at which time I was appointed the administrator, and then the following September in 71, I was elected as director of Region 7, a position that I'm currently holding.
You've done the quickest job of anybody in giving me a brief overview of their life.
It's probably not very brief.
That's wonderful. That's very helpful. What I want to do is I'll get back to you and ask you, what job did you work at? What was it like to be chair of the bargaining committee? Well, you know, what did it feel like? Not so much details, kind of, but just to finish it out, since you've been director of Region 7 in 71, what other activities have you been involved with?
As director of, well, even before I became director, shortly before I became director, I'd say during the period of time that I was the assistant to the director, I believe it's expected of you to be a public servant also. And I always welcome the opportunity to serve any place as a labor representative, representing labor. And as such, I have served on Governor Williams' task force. This was a group of 26 men that he had appointed from all over the state to study the entire tax structure of the state of Michigan and make a recommendation to the legislature. Well, in the meantime, a Constitution Convention had came about, and the recommendation that we proposed to the legislature was to go to graduated income tax rather than the flat rate sales tax, which we had then. But the Constitution Convention seemed to disregard everything that we had studied for a couple of years, and a minority report was adopted whereby we didn't get a graduated income tax. We got a flat rate income tax and a sales tax, which was initially enacted to finance Michigan's government and bring them out of the deficits caused during the Depression years. That was even added to. So that was one committee I served for a couple of years on, and although I enjoyed the work and thought I spoke with labor, of those 26 members of that committee, there were other members of labor on there, such as Leonard Woodcock of the UAW and the former director of the UAW in Grand Rapids, Kenny Robinson, and I just can't recollect right now the names of some of the others, but there was, oh, Jack Conway was one too. He was Walter Reuther's administrative assistant at the time. He was on that committee. And of the committee of 26, 23 wrote a majority report, and there were three members of the committee that wrote a minority report. And it's unfortunate, but most of their report got adopted at the Constitution Convention.
Who were the minority?
The names of them? Well, the names of them was a guy by the name of John Carton, who headed up a very big insurance company in Battle Creek, Michigan. And the other guy, his name was Ty Gillespie, who was a big official in Dow Chemical. And the other one was a publisher, some big publisher. He's down around the Hillsdale area. I believe his name was Hayhow. They were the three, and their report is what got adopted to the main extent.
Why don't you just give me some of the other commissions, and we'll come back different times.
Okay, that was the other commissions that I served on was the State Board of Canvassers and the Occupational Safety and Health Commission, where we promulgated many, many safety standards, rules, and regulations.
What years did you serve on that?
Oh, gosh.
In the 70s?
It was shortly after the Williams-Steiger Act, federal act, on regards. It would be in the 70s, yeah. And when states adopted safety rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
I also served as an advisory member to the Environment Protection Policy Commission of Natural Resources. Some of these damn committees and commissions have got longer names, and I have been on the board of directors of Michigan Blue Cross Blue Shield for the last approximately 15 years. I have been an employment relations board member since its inception 6 years ago, a little over 6 years ago.
That gives me plenty to work with.